This is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Presented by Edmonton Motors.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
1247, all Justin Schultz, all the time. No, not really, but we did have an update for you in the last segment. We'll pass it along again. Bob McKenzie has tweeted out that two teams are out, the Toronto Maple Leafs and New York Rangers, and four teams still in it, I believe. That would be Edmonton, Vancouver, Ottawa, and I suspect Minnesota. Could be wrong on that one, but gives you an idea about it's getting closer, and I don't know whether they're doing, you know, how they're doing the process or whatever, but we were told earlier in the day that it would be sometime this afternoon. So hopefully that'll come in the next hour and 15 minutes or so, because we have some really good music to play, and that's all all I really care about. And so we're going to look forward to that coming up before 2 o'clock, hopefully, on the Justin Schultz front. Now, though, we are joined by Nation's Overlord and the inspiration for the music that you're hearing right now, Mr. Kent Wilson, live from Calgary. Mr. Wilson, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Busy week in Calgary. Where would you like to start?
Oh, well, that's probably the Weidman signing is the place to start, I'd say.
Okay, let's start with Weidman. He's a guy that I felt that would be a good value for a team like the Oilers. Didn't think he'd get that far. I thought that he would sign. And although the contract is long and you know, glorious for Dennis Weidman, and there's a no movement clause, he is one of the, you can't argue, he's one of the better players who would have been available to fill that void in free agency.
Yeah, I mean, he does fill a need for the Flames on the back end. He's one of the better offensive defensemen that was available this year, and he's a capable top four guy, and the Flames let Scott Hannon walk, and they didn't really have anyone else internally to fill that role. So in terms of, you know, getting a guy who fills a need, yes, the contract, I'm not so crazy about, to tell you the truth. He's, you know, most of it's after he's 30 years old. There's a no movement clause. They gave him term, they gave him dollars, and they gave him the no movement clause, all three. And usually I like to only give out those contracts to guys who are going to be cornerstones on a team.
What kind of impact does it have on Jay Bouwmeester? Does that make him expendable, or do you see them keeping both players?
It's hard to say, because they have a lot of money on the back end now with guys like Bouwmeester, Giordano, Babchuk, and Weidman. But Weidman certainly doesn't fill Bouwmeester's role. He's an offensive guy. He's maybe a top four guy. I talked to Washington writers who watched them all last year, and He can eat some minutes, but he's not going to shut anybody down. He's sort of a rodeo in his own end. Jay Bouwmeester is kind of the opposite for Calgary right now. He doesn't put up a lot of points. He's a little bit overpaid, but he is the big gun on the back in terms of defensive. He takes on all the tough minutes every night. So Weidman doesn't do that, and I wouldn't see him stepping into that role either.
The signing that I saw, and I went, you know, people are going to, you know, make fun of it or think it's not a good deal, but I really like the Lee Stempniak signing. He's a guy who maybe gets overlooked a little bit, but he certainly Stempniaks people often.
Yeah, he's a funny guy. He can disappear for a couple games, and then he can turn up for another game, get a hat trick, or dipsy duel around Duncan Keith and score a highlight reel goal. He's a capable, you know, second, third line guy. He's probably good for 15 to 20 goals and 35 to 40 points, which isn't blowing anyone away, but it's nice to have depth players like that who are consistent and can move up the depth chart if there's any injuries.
I do like also the depth signing of Blair Jones. He's a guy who, even, I think you mentioned it, you put it very well on Flames Nation, even if he doesn't, you know, improve from where he is right now, that's a good signing, and it's not a very costly item, and he's definitely worthy of a roster spot.
Yeah, he was an interesting addition to the Flames last year. He only played 20-odd games because he got injured, but Brent Center was sort of moving him into a third-line, hard-minute center role right before he got hurt, so it'll be interesting to see if he can continue that sort of development under Hartley. And if he does, Flames have good value there. And if not, you know, $600K, he can be a fourth-line player, or he can go down to the AHL without much problem.
Well, he reminds me a little bit of the Corey Potter on the blue line for the Oilers. If he ends up not making the team, his contract isn't so prohibitive that it's going to be a matter of suffering in the minor leagues.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Now let's talk a little bit about Corey Sarich. He was an interesting player for me because one of the reasons why I was in favor of the Oilers trading Andy Sutton at the deadline was I thought they could pick up a Sarich or a Sutton for around that price. Sutton's at $1.75 million. They went a little bigger and a little richer with Sarich. Your opinion on that move?
It just kind of confuses me, to tell you the truth. The Flames have a lot of bodies on the back end right now. Sarich was in and out of the lineup the last 2 years with the Flames, in part because he's always battling chronic injuries, and in part because he was a healthy scratch. Brent Sutter wasn't the biggest Corey Sarich fan. I mean, the good news for Sarich is he can play capably on the third pairing still, or he could up until this point. He's not overwhelmed in that role. The bad news is he can't move up because he's just so limited in terms of his mobility and offense. And he's going to be, he's 34 years old. He's going to be 36 by the end of the contract. So at any point here, if he falls off at all, he's a seventh defenseman at best. So I don't know why the Flames felt they needed to lock him up for, especially for 2 years. He's physical, and I think that's what Feaster was using as the justification for bringing him back, because the Flames blue line isn't overly mean now, but it still doesn't make too much sense to me.
Just break in here and let you know that James Duthie is tweeting now that Justin Schultz is calling the teams who are on his short list one by one. The team that he has chosen will get the last call. So he's called Toronto and the Rangers now to say thanks but no thanks. And there's four more teams, as we understand it, including the Oilers, and we'll keep you updated on that. Back to Kent Wilson from the Nation's talking a little bit about the Flames and their moves. One of the free agents that I like that the Flames apparently aren't going to sign is Ole Jokinen. Do you think they have enough? Do they have enough money to go out and sign another offensive player to replace him?
I was looking at it today, and they have probably $5 or $6 million to play with after they re-sign Michael Backlund, and assuming Sven Berchi makes the lineup, then that's what they have to play with. So there are some options out there. There's the Augers of the world, Yuri Hudler, Shane Doan, guys like that. There's not a lot of really great options. I mean, P.A. Parenteau might be a type of guy to target, or even Daniel Winnick, who isn't offensive capable, but he's more of a David Moss type player who moves the play in the right direction. So I don't even know if they're going to target anyone on the UFA list at this point after all their moves, because they do have 12 forwards signed, they have 8 or 9 defensemen, and 2 or 3 goalies. So we'll see if they're active at all.
So there's a possibility, because I was looking at the roster and I thought, if your plan isn't to rebuild, you bring Berchi up. That's not such a bad move. I count 10 defensemen.
Yeah.
So there's a possibility they're set.
Yeah, this could very well be the lineup that they go to battle with. There's still little rumors that, Jay Bouwmeester might be shopped and Michael Backlund might be shopped, but it would surprise me if they could get value for those two guys at this point in their careers. So I don't know if it makes any sense unless someone comes along and offers them the moon.
I had a conversation with a buddy of mine about Bouwmeester. I felt he'd be a perfect fit in Edmonton for what they need, and he felt it would be a terrible deal. What do you think about Bouwmeester in Edmonton?
Bouwmeester would be a huge ad for the Edmonton Oilers, just because the blue line is still, I think, your weak spot. Especially, it would be nice if you added Schultz too to that point. But Bouwmeester, he is pricey, and that's all people can see, I think, these days, is his cap hit, and he's not scoring 40 or 50 points a year, but he just soaks up the tough minutes, and he makes everyone else's life a lot easier. And I think that's where the Oilers really lack, is a guy on the back end who can do a bunch of heavy lifting and free up ice time for everyone else.
Two real quick Nations items I wanted to talk about. We have Andrei Osajenko coming on in the last segment of our show today, talking a little bit about the Russians. Can you give me a little bit of background on him, how we acquired him? And I know he does great stuff. I love his stuff. And he's getting some inside scoops that nobody else is.
Yeah, he's a Toronto-based Russian accredited journalist. He was born in Russia. He's friends with some of our other writers, including Tom Drance, who is the managing editor for Canucks Army, but actually lives in Toronto. So he kind of directed Andre to me, and we started, just exchanging emails, seeing if he had a fit. And now with a lot of Russian players sort of popping up as prospects or players across the nation, he's been invaluable because, as you say, he talks with their scouts and he talks with them quite frequently.
And also, and I believe it was Thomas Drantz, but for anybody who's wondering about Justin Schultz and what kind of player he is and what we can expect, NHL Numbers had a wonderful piece from Drantz, I believe, this week about Justin Schultz and what fans might expect from him as a rookie.
Yeah, the article was kind of looking at his potential to be a bust, just because it would be funny after all this pageantry if he kind of fell on his face next year. But Tom looked at a lot of comparable players who have come up recently, defenders, and Schultz topped the list pretty much every time in terms of NHL equivalency and stats like that. So it's, you know, anything can happen, but it looks like he's a pretty good bet to be a good player in the NHL.
Kent, thanks so much for this. We appreciate it.
Anytime, Alan.
All right. That's Kent Wilson, Nation Overlord. And, of course, you can read him on Flames Nation. NHL Numbers does great work and really part of that group of people. And I would include Jonathan Willis in there and Tyler Dello and a few others who are making all of those numbers make sense. And we really appreciate their work. And Drantz and Chiron and Zona and all those guys do great work. It's 12:58 now. We're going to take a break. In the next hour, as I mentioned, Andrei Osajenko talking about the Russian contingent for the Oilers and others. We'll also have Cam Chiron from Leafs Nation and Hall of Famer Terry Jones on the way. This is Nation Radio, brought to you by Edmonton Motors.